Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I have somebody flying co-pilot, and actually he flies every once in a while just by himself, and sometimes he leads me along as well. And that's Dave Martin. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Dave's from Martin's Auto Repair, south of Indian School on 16th Street. They wrote it wrong. Nevertheless, your dad started when?
He started back in 1971, okay. And at a Chevron service station on 20th Street in Osborne. So we're about a half a mile from there.
Okay, so 71 is 30 plus 20, so the family's been in business for 50 years.
Yeah, just under 50 years. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And coming up on 50.
Yeah, but it's a second generation, There's not too many of those. You got a lot of people that started, and they're the first generation. And I talked to Greg not too long ago, and he was wondering whether or not there was going to be a second generation, because the kids really want to be something else.
Absolutely. It's a different generation. That's absolutely true.
All righty. Automatic Transmission Exchange is on 40th Street in Washington. They've been around since 1968. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic experts. So if you're in Phoenix and you need some leak taken care of, or a shift problem, or something's happening that you're not quite sure it's kosher, then stop by Automatic Transmission Exchange. They'll take a ride with you. They're a good place to go. We got a caller. Oh, let me give the number real quick. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, except for Dana. Dana, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
I've got two issues I wanted to talk with you about this morning. I'm calling for my dad.
Okay.
And he's got a 70 Dodge Charger and a 70 Plymouth Barracuda.
Okay.
So the first issue, I'm trying to convince him to get some help. He's been trying to dink around with this, and it's a electrical issue. He doesn't know. He's been trying to troubleshoot it. The horn isn't working, the lights, there's intermittent issues, the blower, the fan. So he's trying to troubleshoot that himself. He hasn't been successful. Are there any shops you know of that are specifically electrical? He's old school and wants to take it to somebody who's an electrical guy.
Well, I can tell you right now, let me change your question. For a 70 Barracuda and a 70 Charger, Mark, where are the gray-haired guys that worked on these cars and fundamentals started with these cars? And the answer is there's quite a few of us out there. Where do you live? What part of town does your dad live?
Well, he's in Chandler.
Okay. Well, it's always embarrassing for me to do this.
Nope, you should do it. Hey, Mark is really good at this stuff. He's got a few old cars I'm looking at right now in his shop.
Well, we're actually doing the show from the shop because Dave wanted to come down.
Yeah.
And we accommodate that kind of stuff. But the answer is we probably have five hot rods. Let me tell you the electrical problem. It's not going to be anything at all. it's not. We're going to look for powers. We're going to look for grounds. We're going to see if we can artificially inseminate the horns to get them to honk, and we need a power and a ground. Sometimes the ground is provided by the steering wheel button. So you take the steering button off and you find the ground's broken, you fix it, and now all of a sudden beep, beep. None of those stuff is a tough thing, especially in a car that age. So we are more than capable of doing that. If you're going to make an appointment, talk to Andy or Alan, which is my two kids. And they already know how to run the store. The both of them have been in the business for at least 35 years. So, and we have an old Ford Galaxy right now. I think there's a VW Bug in the back. We just shipped what did they call the Chevrolet station wagons back in the old days? There was something that they called them, and I don't even remember, but we had one of those in there.
Boats?
No, you're right about the boat part. You're right about, but anyway, Dana, we're happy to help you. And don't tell your dad this, and don't. Sometimes it costs $50 or $150 to find it, and a dollar to fix it. So don't count on that. But in the old cars, that's what happens a lot. So it takes us an hour and 5 minutes to check out the horn system, but at the end of the thing, we find out this connection's bad, we fix it, and the horn works. So the diagnostic and the repair kind of wrap into one. But
so you guys can take care of him then.
I'm 100% sure.
Yes. And,
okay,
and
he
I would, if you lived up north in the northeast, it'd be Blackwell. If you lived in the west side of town, it'd be Harker's. If it was in the center part of the town, then this guy sitting next to me from Martin's Auto Repair on 16th Street south of Indian School, he'd be the one. So I'm telling you about guys with gray hair. I'm talking about guys that worked on cars since the 60s, and they've been around. Funny story, we had a guy bring a car in not too long ago. He was complaining about all kinds of drivability problems. All kinds of drivability problems. Then he wanted to sit in the lobby for a while. So we give it off to Eddie. Eddie takes a drive, comes back, hands the keys, and he goes, here, goodbye. I said, you want to tell me what he did? And he goes, no, have him drive it. So he comes back, the smile looks like a Cadillac grill.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fixed, it's fixed. So I go in and I go, okay, we had about 27 minutes on this car. What did you do? And he goes, I advanced the hell out of the timing.
Yeah.
He goes, that's all. He says it was sitting there 11 degrees retarded. He says, I drove it. I knew it it was out of power.
Yeah.
So, but by the same token, we had an old Cadillac in here the other day that somebody had put a stereo in, and they had used the power in, but then they grabbed a hold of a speaker wire as the ground. And it took us a little while to figure that out because that was stupid and that wasn't the way it is. But anyway, Dana, we're happy to help you Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 6. And what we'd like you to do, and perhaps bring your dad along, and we'll write a work order, and we're going to ask you to describe specific problems, and we're going to address those one at a time. And so this won't be tough.
Well, can I ask you about the other car is the Barracuda, and it's a different issue.
Okay.
There's this thump, thump, thump noise that's been in the rear passenger side. And he thought it was the tires, so he had new tires put on. He needed them anyway and thought that would take care of the problem, but it's still there. And the only thing I can tell you is it's always there, and it goes with the speed. So when you're going slow, the thump is slow. As you speed up, the thump gets faster.
Okay, that's not going to be a problem. I don't know what it is, but you gave me a great description of it. Because when she first said it got a noise in the passenger side, I'm thinking lower control arms. I'm thinking bushings out of the rear end or the leaf springs. I'm thinking all of that kind of stuff. But now all of a sudden it's there all the time.
It's a rotating noise, yeah.
Exactly.
Whatever's rotating back there needs to be addressed.
That's why I thought it was a tire. But
yeah. There. Did he put one or two or four?
Four. He put all new tires on.
Okay, well, he spent more money than it's going to cost to diagnose that.
Well, and the thing of it is, you know, the hardest thing is getting it to be duplicated. If you can duplicate it and it happens all the time, it's usually not that hard to figure out.
And that's why you or your dad come, and we're going to have Monday mornings and Friday afternoons are out of the question for obvious reasons, but we're going to have you take and we're going to have you take maybe one or two seasoned guys with you and say, show them the noise.
Yeah.
And that's just – you finish the sentence – when you do that, you save yourself how much dollars?
A lot.
I would say between $50 and $150 you can teach us how to make the noise.
Well, you give us a good description. Mm-hmm. You give a really good description of what the problem is, and you can show us it, and we can duplicate it. Yeah, it's so much easier. The more information we get, the cheaper it is for the customer.
We had a person the other day that was a rattle in the right side, but it was a rattle of the seat was loose, but what they forgot was when my wife sits there, the rattle goes away. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We said to him,
yeah.
If somebody, I never know that. Okay, well, take it for a ride. He comes back and he goes, it's gone. The seat was loose. So you said, Dana, that this noise is there all the time, and she's special because she goes, it's with speed.
Yep,
we
absolutely.
Don't hear that.
Yeah,
we don't hear that.
And it's only on the rear end passenger side. That's where we've kind of narrowed it down to.
You know, sometimes we're not going to go by your description, but you know what we are going to do? We're going to take our smallest tech, put him in the trunk, and we're going to go drive.
I don't have to get in there.
No, you don't have to. We've done that before. Now, we'll also put two guys in the back seat, and we'll make it happen. Then we'll make them switch places, and they have to agree.
They think I go a little too far when I want them to climb under the car while I'm driving it. They get a little upset about that.
Yeah, well, the seasoned guys don't. but Dana, that's not going to be hard. But just be prepared, and it would be best for us if you just brought one at a time. And it's best for you to take your cars into a new shop one at a time, because if you don't feel good after the first one, then you're not saddled with them on the second one. So no matter who it is, including my own shop, then, and you'd look up Salem Boys Auto, and that's the name of our shop. We're on Warner and I-10, just east a mile.
Is there any insight I can give him on that? He's worried it's some huge problem. And
it's, I'm going to tell you on the noise, to diagnose it is going to be $50 to $100. I don't know what the fix is going to be. As far as the electrical system, I'm going to raise that from $100 to $150, and I don't know what the repair is going to be. But I'm just thinking to myself, how much time is it likely to take us? And I'm thinking to myself, 30 minutes to diagnose the Barracuda to maybe an hour. But on the Charger, it's the other way around. The Charger is going to be a little bit more expensive on the diagnostic side, but the Barracuda is not. But it's kind of a step-by-step. We're going to diagnose this, and we're going to give you a diagnostic fee range. Then we're going to call you with an estimate on parts and labor, and then your dad has to decide what he wants to do then. So it's a two-parts process. He can also, if he pays for the description and the diagnosis, then we'll write it down, and if he wants to go to have it done, or if he knows somebody else that can do it, then that's fine.
As long as he doesn't try to do it, that's what I'm worried about.
Okay, well, then what you do is you bring it in here, and we'll deal with you.
And yeah, good luck with that.
you be our customer, and here's self-defense for car expense. Hi, Dana, this is Mark. What we've done is we found the lower control arm bushings are bad on the passenger side, and it's this much to replace the two, and then it's this much to do all four. And Dana says, well, first of all, I want my own parts back, and second of all, I need you to assure me that this parts and labor is going to fix the noise. I need you to promise me it's going to fix the noise. Yes, ma'am, it is. Okay, fine, I want my old parts back. Well, you look at the old parts, and you can see if they're bad or good. And more than likely, they're going to put them in the box that they came in. That's important. Number two, if you give the old parts back, like an alternator or an air compressor or whatever, then if it doesn't fix it, then you go back in and you say, here, this is my old alternator. Put it back on because I have the same problem. So that's part of defending yourself with respect to car stuff. So I know you're afraid, but I've been on radio since 1988, and there's a whole lot of shops in this valley that are good, and there's a whole lot of them that I wouldn't send you to. So I don't. The first list I make public, the second list I don't. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time this morning. I'll get this information to my dad, and hopefully we can come see you guys.
Okay, thank you very much, Dana. Alan and Andy is the contact she'd make. 17 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Martin's Auto, Dave's sitting next to me. He's a descendant of his dad, Dennis, who opened the shop. So you're second generation.
Second generation.
Just like we are.
And I got a third generation working for me. My nephew works for me, too. So.
And I've got grandkids working here.
Do you? Really good. Yeah, well, that's great.
That's the way it is. But anyway, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto Repair, south of Indian School on 16th Street. I'll get that right. I may rewrite that because they got it the other way around. Anyway, we both been in the business. I'm a first generation in car. My kids are second. Dave's dad was first. Then you're the second. And then you've got kids. Nieces and nephews that are going to be.
I got a nephew right now that he's a master L1 tech, works for me, and he's grown in the business, and he's got that mechanic gene, technician gene in him, and he's been like that ever since he's a little kid. You know, he's been able to figure things out, and you know when he was a little kid, it was always funny because he would sleep with a hammer and a screwdriver. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know you're destined to be in the automotive industry.
No, my mom used to do that. She's not in the automotive industry. She just stabbed my dad and hit him in the head because he snored so loud. Okay. And and something else we talked about off the air, which we shouldn't do off the air, is there is a relationship between successful diagnosis of a problem.
Absolutely.
And so if the customer can show you how to make it, that's fine. But if the customer can't show you how to make it and it happens every Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, my answer, you got your answer, hold on to it. But my answer is you got to wait till it gets worse and easier to find. We can spend the rest of our life looking for that problem that happens three times a month. Just wait till it gets worse and easier to find. Well, how do we know the wheel won't fall off? Trust me, wheel bearings make noise all the time.
Yeah.
So if you had a wheel bearing, now I want to explain something that you didn't. Master Technician has passed all 8 automotive light truck tests.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys out there that are certified in brakes or certified in front end or certified in climate controls, air conditioning, heaters. But very few of them out there are all 8 tests. Yep. Then you said he had an L1, which is an advanced performance, where he understands carburetors to the most sophisticated fuel injection. Those are the top dogs in our industry. But there's Jeremy, who's over at Harker's, that's passed all 40 ASC tests.
All 40, wow.
Truck, bus, paint, mechanical, front end, transmissions, everything.
Yeah.
And he's one of 4, 5, 6 guys in the United States that has passed everything. That's somebody who has confidence. Now, when you measure mine and your skills to him, we're in first grade. He has a master's degree.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. That's awesome.
So I've never met anybody like that. We've had him on the air a couple times. He's clearly. But you know what I think? I think the better you are is demonstrated by the questions you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how good I am doesn't fix the car, but like we talked about Dana,
yeah,
it makes it all the time. We don't get to hear that very often.
Yeah.
Check, I got a noise. Goodbye.
Right. And the thing of it is I've always, you know, we learned the hard way. You know, it took us a couple of times to figure out that we fixed the wrong noise. Have you ever had a car come in here and it's got a horrific noise and you're thinking, all right, I got this. We're going to fix this. Customer goes and drives it and comes back and says, you didn't fix the noise. What about that noise? Oh, that's been there ever since I've owned the car, but this noise is new and this is different. And that noise was way louder than the noise that they want us to fix. It just blew our mind. So we made a policy that if you come into our shop and you have a noise or you have a vibration, we go for a ride with you. But like you said, if it's duplicatable, great. If it's not, at that time, we tell them, look, when it starts to make the noise, if you're driving by my shop and it's starting to make the noise or it's starting to vibrate, pull in here, honk the horn, we'll jump in the car, and we'll go for a ride real quick.
And you're absolutely right, but you can also educate them. When you're getting on a cloverleaf on the freeway, you make a gradual right turn at 40 or 50 miles an hour. Does that change the noise? Gradual left turn, does it change the noise? Does it change the noise with the air conditioning on or off? Does it change the thump when you brake hard and take off hard or when you slide into a stop and gently drive away? So arming them with that kind of questions, and you can't give them 15.
Yeah.
You give them 3 or 4 questions and just say, these are the circumstances that's more likely your noise is going
to
happen.
Well, like we said to Dana the more information you give us, the cheaper it is in the long run. And that's just the most amazing thing. People think that more information they give us, the more it's going to cost. It's the actual opposite.
You're right. Kurt's Auto Repair is a good guy. He's up on I-17 and Bell. He's just one of these guys that him and Eric are really good. They're both masters. They both know their work. I was going to say something stupid. They've been around since 1987, and they work on both domestic and imports, both gas and diesel. But what's really good about Kurtz is he's honest. A lady, I tell this story a lot, the lady says she's gone to 2 or 3 shops, and they tell her it needs an engine. She calls me, and she's a long way away from me. So I send her to Kurtz because she's a half a mile away from I-17 and Bell. He calls me and he says, tell me what you know about this. And I said, I don't know. She said 3 shops have told her she needed an engine. He goes, well, it did come in with no oil pressure. And I said, well, is it clattering and knocking? And he goes, no, that's the unusual part. And I said, did you drive it? And he goes, yes. And I said, is this a test? And he goes, yes. I said, so you have no oil pressure. Is the light on or off? It's not a light. It's a gauge. Okay, fair enough. It's sitting on E. Yeah, it is. Does it clatter? No. Does it knock? No. Is it got oil in it? Yes. Is the gauge lying? Ah, the gauge is lying.
Yep.
So these all these other, and it drives me crazy. The other day, another story real quick. Oh, let's get the caller first. Who we got, Gil? Harry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, Harry. Thank you very much.
Hey, I've got a question. I know you've talked before about all-wheel drive vehicles. If you take out a tire and you got to replace it, usually you have to replace all 4. Is that correct?
Well, it depends on the wear of the tires. The circumference
right.
has to be close to one another, so it's the diameter times pi.
Right.
But really and truly, you mark it on the ground and you roll it one revolution, you measure the difference. But we don't want a significant difference in the rotation speed of any of the tires. So
right.
if you're running one, if your wife hits a curb over, what's the name of that really expensive store?
Neiman Marcus. Or
Neiman's Marcus. Yeah, she's over at Neiman's Marcus, and the guy who parks her car for the valet guy kisses a curb, and the tires are brand new. Then the answer is no. You just put one new one on.
Right.
But obviously,
okay, well,
30,000 miles, and you got to go with all.
The reason why I'm calling, I heard an ad the other day from a company, a tire company, not the one you talk about all the time, but someone else, and they were talking about all wheel drive vehicles and. You know, if you have to replace a tire, got to replace all four of them. And they had a machine that would, sounds like it would cut the rubber off to make the, you know, the circumference the same as what you had. And I'm thinking, years ago, they used to have some machines that did that, you know, for tires that were out around. And some of the tire company says, if you do that, you know, the warranty on the tire is gone. You know, we're not going to do that. So have you heard about that process?
Yeah, in the 60s. I mean,
yeah,
who would shave a
like
tire today?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
I mean,
kill the life of it.
Oh, and not only that. Oh, first of all, so they're going to put one new one on, and they're going to shave the new one to match the rest of them.
That's the impression I got. They
okay.
said they had a machine, and I'm thinking, you know, that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is I haven't seen one of those machines in a heck of a long time, but I think the idea is really stupid, and I think it's a publicity issue, and they're going to be different from everybody else. I don't know the specifics. I'm going to trust your description of what's going on, but the fact of the matter is that's not something I'm going to do or Dave's going to do. That's not a good idea for, as far as the customer's concerned, and that's just it's just a marketing ploy, was probably given to the shop by some pinheaded kid that just came out of college with a media degree. And I've got to take a break. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
All about that theme and automobile, the middle monster with the polycast wheels, the end result of the dream.
Mark Salem and Dave Martin from Martin's Auto. He's on 16th Street south of Indian School, and we're going to go to Terry. Terry, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a Dodge 2015 Journey, and all of a sudden I'll be driving, and the skid light, it's the off skid light, goes on my dashboard, and then the engine light goes on, and then I, of course, can't accelerate properly. And so I pull over, turn the car off, and turn it back on again, and the skid control light goes off again, but of course the engine light stays on until it resets, you know, a couple of cycles later. And I didn't know what was causing that. I've heard different things like the cam sensor. I've heard sensor heads.
Sensor heads.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Induction rings.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm willing to guess for $500. Are you game?
Uh-oh.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to tease you, but I know you're laughing, so I want you to know this is the big message. And I got in trouble for this last time, but I'm going for it again. Okay? The person on the internet could be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, or they could be a gynecologist out of work. Why would you call them and tell them what you've got, and they're capable of doing what I can't, which is tell you exactly what's wrong with it? Do you know how far apart your particular symptoms are from a camshaft sensor? I mean, we are a red wagon for your 6-year-old son to a 747. That's how far away we are. I think I got it. I have the general area.
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is scan the computer
to see what that code is.
Right, see what the code is, and then at least you'll have a direction to go at that point.
But skid control's a wheel sensor.
Right, absolutely.
And she says that's reset with a key cycle. So I want you to go make sure all the tires have the same inflation, okay?
Okay.
And I want you to do that. And I want you to pay attention on whether it's a right turn or a left turn, which turns on the skid control.
It seems to be a left turn.
Okay, see, that's important. Now let me ask you a question. When you turn left, which tire rolls the most and which tire rolls the least?
Well, that's a $60,000 question. I have no idea.
Okay, now think about it. We're talking about an arc, okay? So we're going to take the car, close your eyes. The car's going to go north, and then it's going to turn west.
Okay.
The right front and the left rear. The right front and the left rear. The left rear is going to rotate. Its arc is smaller, and the right front arc is bigger. So this is really going to, I'm thinking, this is going to be, that first code bothers me, the check engine light.
Yeah.
But I think the skid control is going to be somewhere along. It's either going to be a tire differential in diameter, or it's going to be a wheel sensor. I think it's going to be a wheel sensor that'll probably turn off. But, I mean, we clean them. We test them, but we can plug in a scanner and we can go drive and we can make hard lefts and right, fast lefts and right, fast this, fast that, and we can watch the speed of each tire.
Oh, so okay.
It's really something that's not hard. Do you have a garage that you like?
Well, actually, I was going to go to Kurt's based on your recommendation last week.
Okay. So, and just tell him Mark said on the radio that he's pretty sure Kurt's can't do it, and if not, you can bring it to my shop and I will. And they'll throw you out or laugh, and I think that they'll actually laugh at me and stuff like that. But, yes, the answer is Kurt's a great place. What you've described, and especially that left turn thing, it's the questions you ask is what sooner or later you run and hit a home run.
Right.
So,
okay, all right. And when they do the testing on the when they do that computer test thing, that costs like around $100, is that right?
No. I don't know what their diagnosis is. I know that we would bid. What would you bid that for? Diagnostic fee.
$139.95.
Okay, I'm $50 to $150. That covers everybody in the industry.
Right. I got you. Yeah.
And so there's some guys out there, but we just know that we're not going to open up the scanner and the scanner's going to say, "Oh, Mark, fix the left rear wheel cylinder or the left rear." That doesn't happen. I'll give you a good example. We look at the O2 sensor. And the O2 sensor, we get a code that says the oxygen sensor is acting up. So we go in and look at our scanner. And our scanner has a bunch of numbers. And you better know what number is okay and what isn't. So it's not really a matter of, you open up the computer and goes, "Oh, Mark, don't be stupid. It's the passenger side rear oxygen sensor." That doesn't happen. Let me give you an example, okay? You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, the O2 sensor has five numbers, 1 through 5. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1 through 5 are, and in the middle is where the sweet spot is. So the O2 sensor is going to bounce between 2 and 4, 2 and 4, 2 and 4, and it's going to hop over 3. And that's the range it works in. Okay. When we go in and it says 1 and it's stuck at 1, that means I see a whole lot of air and I don't see any fuel. If it's stuck at 5, the O2 sensor's screaming, "God, you're drowning me in gasoline." See my point? And the 5 is a battery. So what voltage do you get on a 5-volt battery when the battery's dead? What voltage would that be?
I guess you'd get a 0.
Bingo. You need a job? You come. So you're at 1 and the oxygen sensor's really a battery. So if you get a 1-1-1-1-1, then what you do is you make the car run really fat with gas. And all of a sudden you expect the O2 sensor to go to 5, and it doesn't. It stays 1-1-1-1-1. And you go, "Okay, well, I just tested its range, and it failed the test." You put a new one in. It's at 3, in the middle of between 1 and 5. So you make it run rich, boom, 5. You make it run lean, boop, 1. We're done. But that's $125, $150 worth of work. But that's how it works. So stay away from the internet because they're going to guess with your money. And like I said, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, or some kind of a doctor, they can't do any better. And plus, they don't ever ask you questions either.
Right.
So you'll notice you and I are having a conversation here, and we'll get closer as we go. But anyway, thanks for calling, Terry. Good luck to you.
I have one more question.
Sure.
I have an emissions recall for a catalytic converter efficiency thing. So that obviously wouldn't have anything to do with this issue, right? It wouldn't be causing anything.
Probably not. A catalytic converter that's plugged takes a lot of power away from you. It's as if you're hauling 3 cars behind yours. Okay. And or it's stinking like crazy, like rotten eggs. So
Yeah, it doesn't do that.
Okay. It normally doesn't go away after you shut the car off.
Yeah, yeah.
You start it up, it does the exact same thing. So it's going to continue. It's going to be a consistent problem.
Yeah, I don't think that the emission recall has anything to do with this. But when you take it in, you say, what's your diagnostic fee? Can you just look at this? And I'll okay
$30. Okay, and I have to, I actually have to go to the dealer for a recall, right? I can't go to anybody else.
No,
you can only go to the dealer.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you can't. So, anyway, thank you very much, Terry. 602-508. Thank you. 602-508-0960. The lines are open. There's five of them. 602-508-0960. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto Repair. Mark Salem from Salem Boys in Tempe. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Let's see what time it is. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Let me tell you about Larry Harker's Auto. We've mentioned Larry Harker's. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. He's been around for a very long time. He's an old gray-haired guy. He knows a little bit more than the average bear. Can we hear that air gun in the background?
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, Mark.
Wait a minute. Let me finish it.
Okay.
Larry Harker's has been around a very long time. 38th Avenue and Indian School. That's where Jeremy is, that kid that's passed every ASE test known to man. So if you live near 38th Avenue and Indian School, they're a good place. Now, if you've got a noise where there's a hiccup coming from the glove box only when the door's shut, for diagnosticians, they're probably a 10, and I would probably be an 8 or a 9 compared to them. They are really very good. But it's the top 10%. That's where they're really, really good. And everything underneath it, we're all the same. So Larry Harker's Auto, what?
Well, I wanted to tell you, first of all, I mean, have you ever went to sleep with the air gun noise in the back? I mean, you know,
we all do.
That's a technician thing. But, hey, the second thing I want to find out is I'm kind of curious to know, how much trouble did you get in for the gynecologist comment that you mentioned earlier, that you said you weren't going to do it again, but you decided to do it again today? It's just between you and I mean, and, you know, all the hundreds of listeners.
I'm going to give everybody your cell phone and tell them that that this is free car repair. Okay, I'll tell you, but don't tell anybody else. My wife's doing the show with me, and I give them the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and then maybe a gynecologist. Mm-hmm. So we carry that a little further, and she's shaking her head. She doesn't like this at all.
Yeah.
So I tell Gil, don't take the break, and I do this. Okay? That's code between him and me. Don't take a break. So I go, no, and we'll be back. And like, what's the matter? And she says, and this is live, there is no relationship between a car mechanic and a gynecologist. And I said, yes, there is. Oh, what is it? And I said, we both work under the hood. Oh, boy.
And then you slept outside for the next
one. And her face turned white. And then she looked over and saw the board was lit. She knew we were on the air. And then I go, Gil, take her away from here. So I heard that wasn't appropriate. I heard, don't do that again. I just did. And and then they go, that's damn good radio. So you can take your pick for the day. All right, Hal, good morning to you, buddy. How can we help you?
Yes. I bought a second car for transportation. It's a 2004 Taurus. It's low mileage. It was owned by an old lady. You know the story.
Uh-huh.
And everything on that car works. Absolutely everything. The emission light doesn't come on. It's just a wonderful car. But it's got a fuel smell. The inside and outside of the car. During the driving and some. Maybe a half hour after I quit, you could still smell it if you walk all the way around the car.
Okay.
Now, let me
okay.
give you this.
No. I have something to tell you. I want you to run your air conditioning on normal, and then I want you to run your air conditioning on max, and I want you to pay attention to the gas smell, and I want to know if it's worse on one or better on the other. Now, we can talk about all the symptoms you want, but this isn't a tough call. You're going to have to take it in and find out where the gas leak's at. An injector leaking. Okay. A fuel pressure regulator leaking. What?
Okay, that's my question to you is, who would do this kind of work?
Well, what part of town are you in?
I'm at the Cactus Road and I-17 Freeway in that vicinity.
Okay. Well, Kurtz is at Bell and I-17. And Kurtz could find your gas leak. There's no question in my mind. And then north of that is Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley. And I know Tom could find that as well. On a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 2.
Yeah.
On a 1 to 10 scale with respect to how hard it's going to be to find this. You're going to look for the stain.
Yeah.
You're going to look for the stain. But this is going to be easy to diagnose. Just have them tell them how much is the diagnostic, give me a range, and then you say to them, call me with an estimate when you're done. That's what you say.
Okay, thank you. That's great advice. What was the name of the second place you said in Deer Valley?
Action Auto. He's on the northwest corner of Deer Valley and I-17, and Kurtz is on the northeast corner of I-17 and Bell.
Okay.
All right. Hal, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chuck, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
In regards to a 2004 Chrysler Pacifica, it's my daughter's car. She is in Iowa. I'm down here in Sun City, so I can't help her much with it. But what she's telling me is that it started making a weird noise, okay? I know that doesn't tell you anything. But anyway, it sounds like it won't shift out of low gear. Now, she did go to, like, an Advance Auto, and they plugged into the computer, and it said that it had cylinder 4 misfiring. Okay. My question is, if, in fact, she's got such, let's say it's simple, like a plug or a plug wire, if the engine isn't running smooth, could that cause the transmission to not want to shift?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so is it running smooth or not?
No. It runs rough. It's okay. Quiet, though. In other words, it isn't a loud knocking noise or anything.
What are you thinking, Dave?
It's definitely running rough.
Okay. So that would match the code.
Yeah.
But the transmission shift, how do we tie that in?
Well, if it's losing power out of the motor, it may be seeming like it's a shifting problem, but it maybe is a power problem.
Maybe she can't power to second gear.
Right.
Maybe
absolutely.
We're
going to have to track down the cylinder misfire first. So we have a spark plug, a boot, a coil, a valve, a broken piston. We got a lot of possibilities there, but they can all be handled in a very short period of time. You can test every single one of those in 40 minutes. However, if it's the third one of six, then it's not going to cost 40 minutes.
Right.
So it's there. So we diagnose that first. But if he's right and Dave's right, and he's probably right, it's that one cylinder is sucking so much power out of it that she's going deeper with the throttle, and that means the transmission will be told to hold the gear you're in.
Right.
And if she can't make 22 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour, wherever the shift point is from 1 to 2. But I guess the point is this. Fix the miss first.
Absolutely.
And then see what happens on the transmission. Don't let them do nothing to the transmission. Fix the miss first. Now, the guy at the auto parts store doesn't have a clue what's the matter with your car. The code doesn't mean nothing. It gives us, here's what the code says. Your problem's in Cleveland. But we need to find the street and the house address. So that's all it's saying. It's in Cleveland, or it's in Joliet, whatever. It's just in this geographical area, but you still got to track it down. The problem with the auto parts store, and I get so, my panties get wounded up when we get on this subject. The guys in the auto parts store are there to sell parts. I want to tell you something. Oxygen sensor codes are the most prevalent code there is.
Yep.
25% of the time they necessitate an oxygen sensor. 75% of the time, we got a plugged fuel filter, we've got a lean condition, we got a vacuum leak, we got an EGR valve that's stuck wide open, give me a couple more, an idle air control motors that's big, we've got a bellows between the mass airflow sensor and the engine that's leaking air into it, we got all these things that are going on. So I replace plugged fuel filters more than oxygen sensors for a lean condition. So they don't have this skill, but if he can sell you 4 oxygen sensors for $250, then that's what he wants to do. Oh, Mr. Salem, you got an oxygen sensor code, and based on the mileage, you should just replace them all. Come on in here and let me do. So he hands me 4 O2 sensors, and I don't know, there's 4 underneath the car, but which one is one, which one is two, which one is three, and which one is four.
Yeah, I won't do them. I get people calling me and want me to put 402 sensors in the car. I say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Because you know why?
It's not going to fix the problem.
Well, but if it doesn't fix the problem, then this parts store is going to say, you messed up.
Yep, exactly.
And then I have to prove that I put them in right, and you lied about, or you messed up on the diagnostic.
Right, absolutely.
That's why it's self-defense for car expense.
Yeah.
It's no thank you, I don't want to be in that food chain.
No, I don't want to do it either.
I'll diagnose it for you, and you put those in your pocket.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. But anyway, good luck to you, Chuck. Thank you very much for taking care of your daughter. And if she's in Iowa, she's probably a pretty sturdy lady, don't you think?
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, when we talk about car repair, we just talked about Action Auto, Tom.
Yeah.
I've known Tom since 1983. I know secrets about Tom. I have pictures in my camera about Tom.
You sent them to me.
No, I haven't. No, I have. But I have some of you. And would you like me to send them? Nevertheless, Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a good guy. Family-owned, full-service repair shop that served the Deer Valley and the North Phoenix area since 1983. Tom and his staff are really good to deal with. They're good at the diagnostic. Well, first of all, in talking to you to narrow it down, then the diagnostic process. Then, of course, the next step is the repair process. And then the step after that is the most important one, is make sure you drive the car to make sure the symptom you thought you fixed, you really fixed. Because if you just put a mass airflow sensor in that and it still has the same code and the same situation, you missed.
Yeah.
So that's the process anyway. So we've talked about good shops, and we've got anybody else on the phone for us, Gil? Okay. No shift. I got to put my notes down here. Okay. Guy comes into me, and he says, I need you to look at my car. And I said, well, I'm up and pacing.
It's been a little difficult.
I got a horse here with a bad foot. So, I said, so tell me what you got. And he goes, well, I just came from this shop, and I'm not going to say if the shop's a dealer, an independent, a chain store, or an auto parts store. I'm not going to say that. He just came from a shop.
Okay.
And right now we have iPads that are a real big deal. Mm-hmm. So the technicians have iPads. So I said, bring it over here. This is what happened. They said he needed a brake fluid flush. His fluid was dirty and the ABS system was just days from going down. They also said he needed $1,200 worth of transmission repair because it's leaking like crazy. We get it here. We lift it up in the air. We look at the two pictures. This is a true story. He says, Larry, come here for just a minute. He says, look at this picture. He says, look at the master. This is not your car.
Wow.
This is not your car. You have amber fluid in yours, and this is black. It gets worse, Larry. I'm going to lift the car up. Here's the picture of the transmission that is leaking. It's not yours. Look it. It's not
your
yours.
Transmission. Wow.
Yeah. Now, there is a possibility that this is an honest mistake because we take those and we run them to a database and we say, put this with Mark Salem's car.
Yeah.
Somebody missed it. But how ironic is that? Here's the next question. If he'd have taken it in for what was $2,000 worth of work, would someone have caught it?
Or would they have done it? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know, but this idea that we're going to be able to diagnose your car over the phone, this idea that every time somebody gives you a laundry list of stuff to do that you shouldn't get another opinion, it doesn't cost much. What do you charge if somebody comes in and says, here's five things I'm told I need and I want you to check it out?
What do I charge?
Yeah. How much?
It's probably a base fee. It depends on what we're checking out. But I mean, if we're checking out some
visual
checks, it's $75.
Okay, yeah. And I would say $50 to $100 at any shops because I'm bracketing you and me.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the idea is usually we can save somebody money if our heart is in the same place as their heart. We're going to come back. We've got another hour of the show, 602-508-0960. All five lines are open, 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem with Dave Martin here. We're here to answer your questions.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. I'm your host every Saturday from 10 to 12 right here on KKNT, and we're talking about car and car repair. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm going to give you the best advice. I'm going to ask you lots of questions, and we're going to work through this, and then I'll make some suggestions if you don't already have a garage where you could go. That's how it works. I'm not here to butter my bread, and I'm not here to tell you about my shop, and I would venture a guess that 90% of you don't even know where our shop is at. That's not the purpose of this show. When we talk about car repair places, we talk about good places like Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. He's the only shop in Mesa. Some of them have applied, but they didn't pass the muster, and I am the filter. So, me and a team. So if you have lots of complaints, we look at your review, we look at your Better Business Bureau record, we look at and talk to your vendors as you pay his, you know, bill on time and all that other kind of stuff. So Thompson's doesn't have that problem. They've been around since 1907. Brian and Thelma's family has been in the gas station business since the mid-60s in Mesa. So Brian and Thelma grew up in the gas and car repair arena. They have ASE certified technicians. They're going to keep your vehicle in tip-top shape. They're going to tell you what's wrong and give you an estimate, and they're not going to lie to you. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley, centrally located, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Greg, good morning. How can I help you?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for bringing up a point that I've heard numerous times on your show, because I try to listen as much as I can every Saturday before work.
Thank you.
I work for a big box retailer auto parts place.
Okay.
And I've worked in the dealers as well in auto parts. And when they hook up those scan tools and when they try to tell people, you know, this will fix this and this will fix that, I hear it all day long and I get tired of it. And I just want to thank you for bringing that to light to these people that call in. They don't get the correct advice when they go to the parts places.
You know, give me a minute here. I have to compose myself. I have to be as nice as I can, but we don't know one another. Yes. I didn't tell you to call in, right?
Okay. Right.
That's the number one thing that wads my panties up is that kind of misdirection. And every single one of them do it. And these
every
kids are out there and they have this little cigarette thing. A good story. My mother-in-law takes her car in, and the guy goes out and says the battery's fine. Okay? Battery's fine.
Yep.
So she brings it over to my house. Now, we need 9.6 in order to crank the starter, and you hit the key, it starts at 13, and it drops to 5.
That's a problem.
It's a big problem. So then I charge the battery, and it comes up to 13 volts, and I hit the key, and it's 9.6. Oh, maybe the starter's bad. So I hammer on the starter. It doesn't do it. I take an inductive amp probe, and I go to the starter, and it's drawing tremendous amps. I take the starter off, and I spray WD-40 in there, thinking maybe it'll spin, and it starts. But it doesn't start the next time or the next time or the
right.
next time.
Yeah.
It's not a ground. So I take it back in. The guy looks at it, and he goes, it's okay. And I said, well, let's just check the battery. So I said, I'll crank it over, and you look. Why? Well, we're looking for 9.6 or more. What does that mean? Oh, God almighty.
Yeah.
So I went in, and I happened to know the manager. I said, would you come out here and look? And he comes out, and he goes, well, tell me what you got. And I told him, he goes, hey, come over here, change this battery out. She went and didn't get nothing done. I was lucky because I had a friend there. But the idea is that the auto parts people, they're all good. We buy from them.
Right.
Just like everybody else does. I don't spend $10,000, $20,000 a month there, but I buy lots of hubcaps and paint there.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that they're there to sell parts. And Greg, you said it perfectly. It's the code and that those little cigarette lighter things that they plug into your car don't have a prayer in hell of telling you exactly what's wrong. They just have a symptom that's given a code.
It's like going to the pharmacist and telling them you got chest pains and what do you got behind the counter that I can try. Well,
all of my years in automotive parts, which I have more than three whiskers, and I hear you say that, and it makes me laugh every time. I try to tell these new young men and women in the auto parts sales that most of them, they barely have auto parts knowledge, let alone auto parts repair. They have none. And I try to tell them and throttle them back, stating, don't try to solve the customer's problems when you go out there with the scan tool. Give them the information, let them determine, don't give the advice of repairs. And, you know, some of the retailers do tell you, don't offer repair advice, but they get overwhelmed into trying to solve the customer's problems. I'm like, you're harming them, not benefiting them, and it drives me nuts.
Well, and then the pretty girls always get a diagnosis.
Because they get more than that.
Well, no, leave that alone, Greg.
Yeah, don't get Mark started on that now.
wipe clean, erase off of Mark's hair. Greg, I think from a marketing point of view, and I know I'm going to hit you this, and you too, I would think that they say, well, you have a code 12345. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of guys in this neighborhood that really do a good job of following that to the end of the diagnostic stream. And would you tell them Mark from ABC Auto Parts sent you to them?
Yeah.
There's a good chance they're going to buy that part for somebody who referred to them.
Right.
And that's a better choice than saying, this is what we need to do.
Well, and I tell you, it's cheaper to have somebody that knows what they're doing diagnose your car than have the parts store do it. I get customers that come in and spend hundreds of dollars putting parts in their car and not even come close to fixing the problem. And then they bring it to us, and usually the cost of what they spent at the parts store was half they would have spent at my shop.
That's almost, you're saying half the time. I'm saying, in my case, 80% of the time. And you open up the hood, and what do they got? A new EGR, a new idle air control motor, a new TPS, a new oxygen sensor, a new fuel pressure regulator. You got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get underneath there and find out that there's a huge problem in the fuel tank for substandard fuel pressure.
Yeah.
And so then you run a test, and you go, okay, well, I'm 12 pounds off spec, so you got a fuel pump. So me, I'm going to print off the return line, go drive it, the fuel pressure comes up. Well, maybe it's the fuel pressure regulator. Those kinds of things we would do.
I can't tell you how many times that these customers come in with YouTube videos on their phone, and they're trying to tell me that this is the part, and I'm like, that is not the part. This is the part. They can't even get the part right. Then they spend money left and right replacing all these parts that still doesn't turn off the check engine light or fix the vehicle, and then what they end up doing is coming back with a handful of used parts wanting their money back because everybody's telling them what's going to fix the check engine light, and it makes me insane.
Yeah, that's called YouTube University. YouTube. Everybody's an expert. You know, I think what I want to do is open up a website. You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to get in trouble over that thought.
I think you should.
I'm thinking I'm going to become an expert in the circumcision of male dogs. I'm going to sell a kit, and every time your dog barks, I'm going to give you this kit, and it's going to make him better. But that's how ridiculous. You know that, Greg. You know that.
Yeah.
David.
Oh, yeah.
It's that crazy out there with car parts. I tell Greg, and you've probably heard me say that, if that son of a gun is so good at diagnosing cars, he'd be working for me for $50,000 to $100,000 a year. There would be no reason why he'd be a minimum wage employee at an auto parts store.
We're starving for people in this industry. You know, and it's true.
I have a friend who is GM World Class Certified Deck. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of money. He flies all over the United States to maintain his certifications. He makes really good money because he's super smart. Moved to Hawaii, works at a GM dealer in Hawaii, and he's successful. He doesn't work at an auto parts store, and he doesn't work, you know, he knows what he's doing, and it just makes me nuts.
And you're absolutely right on every single thing you said. The diagnostic procedure is real simple. A symptoms conversation, maybe a test drive. Then you're going to diagnose the problem, you're going to bid the problem, you're going to fix the problem, and then you better damn well go drive the car to make sure it's gone.
Right.
That's the easiest thing you have to do. But your guy, if that GM guy's flying around and either giving testing or taking classes, and then he ends up in Hawaii, he's $100K a year guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, guaranteed.
And you touched on something, too, that, you know, when 9 times out of 10, when a customer brings a part into our shop, it's usually the wrong part. It's not even close to what they've got on their car.
Yeah. But here's the problem with that. Okay, so you come in and you hand me this EGR and you say, put this on. Mm-hmm. I have to say why.
Right.
Who told you this? Well, just put it on. The auto parts guy said, no, I'm not going to put it on. And they go, what do you mean? And I said, here's what happens. I put it on your car, and the problem and the codes still are there. Now the question becomes, did I put it on right? So I have to prove to either you or the auto parts store that I did put that on right. So then the auto parts store is going to keep blaming me. And I'm going to say, it's not my problem. I put it on. You told me to do it. So you have this dichotomy where we're the bad guys.
Well, and I got a story for you. You know, I had a customer, this is probably 20 years ago, and I learned a valuable lesson from this. I had a customer bring a part into my shop, and I asked him, why? Why are we putting this on your car? He says, because I'm a lot older than you, and I know more than you do, and this is going to fix my problem. I said, well, you're sure about that, right? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. So I put it on his car. And he drove out of there, and he called me 5 minutes later, and he said, my check engine light's still on. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I didn't diagnose your car. You did. He said, well, you're the professional. I'm not. After that, I learned a valuable lesson. I never do that again. Customers come in with their parts and they want me to put them on. I don't want to be in the middle of that. And he was right. I am the professional. Why would I listen to him? Why would I put that part on his car when I didn't test it myself?
We have a disclaimer. It says, I, Mark Salem, have instructed the Salem Boys Auto to replace this EGR. I accept full responsibility for the performance of my problem afterwards.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to some legal jargon that basically says, I'm not going to stop payment on my credit card. I'm not going to do any of that. The bottom line is I accept full responsibility for diagnosing of my own car. And if Salem Boys puts the EGR on and I still have the problem, then I'm not going to stop payment on my check or my credit card.
Yeah.
So it's, to be honest with you, we pull that out maybe one or two times a week. It's not a real common problem. But if the guy comes in, and you know the kind of guy I'm talking about, he's got a hairy chest, he's got the hair coming out of his neck, he's probably a millennium, he's telling us what he wants us to do, what am I going to say?
Well, it doesn't stop him from writing you a bad review. That's the thing. Okay. I mean, even if you do it and you write all that stuff down, like you said, they can still get on the keyboard and bash you on the internet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But I can say something that's going to eliminate a bad review. I'm going to say, in my head, I'm saying $75 diagnostic. It's going to be $200 to change that EGR valve.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Just hit them between the eyes with a big estimate. They're going to go away, somebody else's problem. Now, the worst they can say is, man, they're expensive.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
But the best that can happen is we don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
I'll bet once a week or twice a week we hit them right between the eyes with what we call a three times. If it's $100, it's $300 because it's a nice way to say goodbye.
Right.
So, anyway, thank you for bringing that up, Greg. I don't think I've ever had anybody from the parts department have this conversation with me.
It was awesome.
Since 1988, I've been on the radio, and I've never had that. And the way he spoke clearly tells you and I he's been in that business.
Yep.
Okay, he wasn't somebody who happened to be trying to fool you and I. So,
yeah.
Greg, thank you for calling. 602-508-0960. Gil, real quick, do we have anybody in the wings? Jim, you stay right there, and we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. And just like we promised, I've got business to take care of, but we're taking Jim right out of the chute. Jim, what can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing? Mark, I call in every once in a while. You always give great advice.
Well, thank you.
So
thank
you. I'm calling about a generic question. This one's about a 98 Dodge Ram, 1500 two-wheel drive.
Okay.
But it's a generic question because it's from the 94 to 2001 series Dodge Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have 318 or the 360s mm-hmm. engines in it. And this is an oil leak. It's the, you know, bell housing between the engine and transmission,
mm-hmm.
and you have a little oil leak. Okay. And I made sure, at least on ours, it's not tranny fluid, so it is oil. So it is the engine oil. And I know there's a pan gasket that kind of goes up in that area if you take off the pan. And there's, what, the rear main seal? What else is there between the engine and the transmission that could leak?
It's a 1500 Dodge Ram, 98 Ram. I can answer the question is, I don't know where the oil pressure switch is, but it could be at the back of the intake manifold. And there's also, if the back of the intake manifold's leaking oil, it'll run around the bell housing and make it look like it's a rear main seal. So somebody has to put dye in your oil, then have you go drive it for a day. What's the matter?
Yeah, and...
Go ahead.
And when it's an idle, it doesn't drip at all. It's only when you're driving it when there's like oil pressure.
Okay.
Well, you know, it starts to drip. I looked up underneath or where the intake manifold is. It's not coming. It's definitely coming from inside the bell house.
So not from up top. It's definitely coming.
No
from
question. No.
Down
no
below.
Question. No question. No right. question.
I know, but I've heard that before.
Yeah, me too.
And then you've given me a symptom I've never heard before, and it only leaks when it's running.
Like we let it idle for an hour, one drop. But then if you put it in gear and you drive around the block, come back, there's like four or five drops that drip out real quick.
All right. I'm not diagnosed in it based on that because that's a red herring.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. That the answer to your question is after we fix the car. So once we fix the oil leak, we'll say, oh, well, that explains why it's purple on Monday and Tuesday it's yellow. That's what it is. Somebody's going to – I'm going to give you the best advice I can. Somebody has to put dye in it. They're going to put funky glasses on, and they have a special light, and the wherever the oil's leaking is going to be orange, yellow, purple, lime green,
whatever color.
Whatever color it is, and you can follow the stain all the way to the leak, but that's what you have to do.
Sure.
I can't tell you where it's at, because what happens is that I guess here, and the caller says no, and then I guess here, and the caller says no, and pretty soon I've guessed everywhere possible, and the caller says no.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about other callers. So that's kind of what it is. Do you have a garage?
Yeah, and yeah.
Okay, well,
I'm out here in Queen Creek. But there is, besides the rear main seal and pan gasket, is there any other seals kind of in the back of the engine? Or
what's
is that kind of the
what
two
you're
main
telling us doesn't match what you're telling us.
Okay.
Okay? The rear main seal is probably going to leak when it's running, but it's going to leak when the engine's off, too. And the pan gasket's not going to leak ever because the oil level never gets to the top of the pan. We don't fill the pan full of oil. So, you know, strike one on your rear main seal, strike two on your pan gasket. But certainly what's killing us right now is your analysis that it leaks here and it doesn't leak here. Let's throw that out the window and let's just go diagnose the problem. That's really what we need to do. So your hypothesis is going to send somebody in the wrong direction, and I think that's dangerous for you. So anyway, thanks a lot, Jim. Thank you very much. Lee, you're up next. How can we help you?
You have said a number of times, I'm listening to you, that with the high-ticket cars, they don't necessarily have to have the premium gasoline. I had an older Mercedes, and I took your advice and dropped down a notch, never having a problem. Right now I have an 06 Lexus ES330, and I'm wondering, does that call for premium gas?
It'll say when you open up the gas cap or the gas door, it'll say premium only or something like that. This, you're right. I did say just not too long ago that you don't need a premium gas in your car because everything since 1981 has a computer that's going to control it. So if it, now this is 100 times in the blink of an eye, the transmission of information, 100 times from and to in the blink of an eye. The computer's watching the knock sensor. The knock sensor says, oh, my God, the engine's pinging. The computer tells the distributor, back off a degree. Hey, knock sensor, is he still there? Yeah, it's still there. Back off another degree. This happens 1,000 times. So I say from 1981 and north, let me change your question. Mark, do you have anything that calls for super? Yes, I have a Camaro and a Corvette. Do you put super in them? No, I don't. If your mother had a Lexus, would you put super or tell her to do right? I tell everybody, buy the cheapest gas you can. There's not going to be a difference. On maybe 1% of the cars out there that have blowers or fancy turbos, some high performance, high compression vehicle, maybe they may need it. But as far as your Lexus and Toyota is concerned, here's the blind taste test. Are you married?
No.
Okay. You had a girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. Tell your girlfriend to go fill up the car and not tell you what it is. Let it get down below a quarter tank. And just say, hey, honey, I'll take you to dinner or whatever, and don't tell your husband. And go have her fill it up and not tell you what it is. And after you do that a couple times, you're never going to know the difference. Never.
Yeah.
Never.
No, wait a minute. I want to make sure I understand. So you don't have to go the premium, but what's the next one down, 89? Did you just say the cheapest gas possible?
That's what I said. Let me give you an example, okay, real quick.
Okay.
Super gasoline, in an exaggerated way, one drop of fuel ignites, this is super, one ignites two, two ignites four ignites six. Death, you got it? Regular, one ignites 1,000 and 1,000 ignites 1,000,000. So the burn time is longer. The push on the piston's longer. We're talking a millisecond. A millisecond. So that's zero, that's 0.000, a whole lot of zeros before we see a one. So my point is the explosion is the difference. And very few people, I would say 99% of the people could not tell what I put in their car on a regular basis. So if I came over to your house and filled that up four times, I can guarantee you, the most you could do is guess right twice. That's it.
So you mean putting chrome hubcaps on my vehicle won't make it go faster?
You know, I saw your van out there and those white tires and those Mack wheels. Did your wife approve those? Okay, 602-508-0960. Don't go anywhere because we just got done talking to Lee, and Bobby, you're up next. So you stay there. But we have four lines open, 602-508-0960. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto Repair. He's on 16th Street south of Indian School. He's near the Central Avenue corridor, so if you need a car repair shop, may I suggest Martin's Auto. We'll be back, Dave and I, right after this.
All about that theme and automobile.
34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and Mr. Martin is sitting here next to me, Dave Martin from Martin's Auto. And real quick, let me tell you about Strictly Diesel Service and Repair on Pinnacle Peak Road, just south of I-17 on Pinnacle Peak Road. Strictly Diesel Service and Repairs. They do just domestic light and foreign domestic diesel trucks. But if you have a car, they'll also check your oil. They'll also do all kinds of stuff like that. So you can have the best of both worlds at Strictly Diesel. But if you have a diesel nobody else can fix, then I suggest you go see Strictly Diesel. Bobby, how can I help you today?
Hey, Mark. I had a question about I'm putting new rotors on the front. And when I took the old ones off, I noticed some rust and corrosion where the rotor fits onto the hub.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of metal to metal there.
Yes.
Is there anything, when I put these new rotors on, and, you know, I cleaned up the little bit of rust and everything, is there anything I can put on there, any kind of something I can apply to prevent that from happening again?
Well, let me change your question. Mark, what do you do with the debris between the rotor and the hub? And the answer is nothing. Here's the bad news. If I said to you, hey, Bobby, get out your caulk gun and wire brush the two mating surfaces, so the rotor and the hub, and polish those up really good, and then take a big caulk gun and do a big circle on one side or the other, stick the rotor on there, I've just screwed you up for a long time, because that rotor will never run true until you get out some giant air-powered silicone grinder and get all that crap off.
Yeah.
So if you really want
to... There's no film of grease or anything.
No.
That would probably migrate, right?
Yes, but you're right. If you took and... I mean... You got to put a little dab, and you just got to kind of rub it in, kind of good on both sides, and leave nothing you can see. This is like rubbing Vaseline on your arm, and just the thinnest possible film you could have. I would agree with that. But let's change your question again, Mark. How many times do you see a problem, and then you have to repair a problem, Dave? How many times have you seen or repaired a problem where, in reality, it was caused by the debris between the rotor and the hub?
Never.
Okay.
He doesn't have them.
And now, I'm gonna give you a scenario. You rotate the car tires on a car from back east. The rotor wobbles a little bit. You put the tire back on. You torque it down, and now it's got a pulsation.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But how many times does that happen a year?
Yeah, not very often.
Okay, maybe once or twice a year for us.
Getting mud in the rim and having having a vibration happens more out here.
Yeah, and that's really what Bobby's doing. He's dancing around that subject because his wife is out off-road in his car. That's exactly right. Bobby, don't do anything. Just a thin film of grease, and I would use like a wheel bearing grease, something that's kind of thick. I don't want you to use a 30-weight oil. Just a thin film of grease on the hub or on the drum or both. Just the thin as possible, okay?
Can I use that caliper grease?
Can you use what?
Like, you know, the caliper, you know, that grease that comes
caliper
with
grease.
Yeah, that would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be okay.
We don't have a huge rust problem out here, so I don't think that's going to be a future
problem.
Are
you from Arizona?
So it's not going to migrate or anything when it heats up enough. Right?
And we are worried about you spinning that off, but think about this. The rotor has a hat. When you set it down flat, it has a hat. It looks like a hat. So when you spin the hub, it's really going to get on the inside of the hat of the rotor. It's not going to get on the rotor surface. So
right. I know what you mean.
All right, Bobby.
Right here in front of me. Oh, one other thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this? I came out of Chapstick Ford the other day, and I heard them talking about, I got this phobia. And it's you know, fear of speed. They call it velocophobia.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of it?
My mother used to have it. My wife has it. Neither one of them ride with me.
If I go over 25 miles an hour,
it's just you.
it only happens though when there's a woman driver. I don't know if that.
Oh, I'm not going there. You. I wasn't born yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
You forget that. Okay, Bobby, thank you very much.
She's driving with a
and Bobby, on. And we're going to go to Nick now. And Nick, how are you? What can we do for you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a 72-year-old gray-haired geezer guy that's been around cars since 15.
Absolutely.
High performance, yada, yada.
Yep.
Okay. So here's something I strongly disagree with.
Okay.
On your recent analysis of gasoline.
Uh-huh.
I had a 2006 Toyota Tacoma, four-cylinder, manual tranny. Reading through the owner's book one day just for, you know, laughs and giggles. And it says, you know, to use certain octane gasoline. A premium fuel may be added when desired for extra performance. And I thought, yeah, sure thing. So I run it down to real low on the tank, fill it up with premium, start driving it, and I had to drive to Payson the next day. Night and day different. I could not believe it.
Okay. I can't argue with that kind of an analysis. I can't. I'm an expert in oil, and I'm an expert in fuel, and I'm capable of describing the flame front and the time it takes to explode. Up until the time you said that you had a 06 Toyota, I was going to agree with you that everything before 80, there would have been a difference. But before 80, they didn't have adjustable timing. They didn't have adjustable fuel. They didn't have all these different – it was different. Today, the computer runs everything. So – if the computer sees a knock, it knocks off a degree of timing, but 1 degree that we know it doesn't really make. But I'm not going to argue with success if that's what you had. But I would say to you, you and I are in the bathroom together. Okay, we're side by side, and we're talking, having this conversation. I would say to you, I wish there was more testing than that. And here's the testing. Your wife goes out and puts the fuel in, and you guess which one she's put in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to agree with you. Number one, I like that you have gray hair. That's why I'm cutting you a whole lot of slack, because I'm not going to argue with you. You made a good point. Well, let me ask you this. What about detergent in the fuel?
What about it?
Some gas has a lot more, they say, than others and stuff like that.
I've been using QT for several years now only.
Okay.
They're right around the corner. I've never had a problem.
Okay.
With their fuel. But, yep. I was blown away, because when you drive the same vehicle, and I've I recently was in an accident and got totaled out. But I drove this vehicle for 150,000 miles, and you know how it is. You know your vehicle.
Yeah.
When you drive them every day. And I was completely blown away, for one, to read this in the owner's manual, and then to try it out and actually feel the difference. It was just amazing.
And I'm sure that there's other guys out there that you know, were disagreeing with me when I say it, but you're the one that called it, and that's it. One other thing, and I will touch on the detergent thing. It's parts per million. Okay, I tell this story. It's a true story. In 1979, the truck pulls into my mobile station, and it's calzone, and they're coming from California. It's during the gas crunch time, and so he dumps 9,000 gallons worth of fuel in my unleaded tank. And I said, "Is that mobile?" And he goes, "It will be." This is a true story. I swear to God. He gets a 5-gallon bucket out of the truck that's covered with Saran wrap and rubber bands. It's 3/4 full with a white liquid. He dumps it in the tank. He looks at me and winks his eye, and he goes, "Now it's mobile." That's true.
Wow.
That's a true story. Now, I also talked to a guy that runs the rack, or I'm going to cover his name. He ran the rack over at 59th Avenue, and he says the truck pulls in. It's a Chevron. I push the buttons. They squirt a bunch of gas in there. Pitty, pitty, pitty. And now you're Chevron, Exxon, QT, whatever, whatever. He says, I know how much stuff goes in that gasoline. So he says, I said, do you agree with me? And he goes, yes, I agree with you. But anyway, we've got to take a break. Eddie, you stay right there. We'll be back.
Struggling there, Mark.
I am. You got that right. Okay, real quick, before I go to the caller, and I'm sorry, AutoDynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. I know that to be a fact. Chuck Nide owned it and operated it and opened it in 1982, and today, Derek, his son, is now running it, so it's on its second generation, and as most of the time, the second generation's a tad better than the first, and that's exactly the situation with AutoDynamics. North side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Eddie, you're up.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
What I got is an 83 Chrysler, Fifth Avenue. It's a 318 engine.
Okay.
And what I got, all the signs when I stopped for the light, it will shake. The engine will shake a little bit. And when I give it the gas to go, it's got power. No problem. A lot of the times I'll stop or I'll just start it and let it run. She'll shake a little bit.
Okay. David, I'm thinking he's got a miss, an intermittent miss. And so if you describe an intermittent miss perfectly, because what I heard you say is there are times it runs rough and there's times it's very smooth. And so
yeah,
an EGR valve could cause that.
Yeah.
If I were your shop, I would, and you too, disconnect the EGR, put a pencil in the EGR line and say, hey, try this. And you say, fixed.
Yeah.
Bingo. We're done. So we're going to clean or replace the EGR. But it could be a spark plug wire, a distributor, a cap, or a rotor. It could be it's got a pickup assembly because it's an old enough car. There's a lot of things it could be. Give me any other cup. A vacuum leak? Some kind of a vacuum leak?
Yeah. Old cars with vacuum leaks,
yeah.
They have a module on there too.
Yeah, but that module is a no start, no matter how hard you crank me, or intermittent die and install. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had somebody do spark plugs and wires on it, or how many miles are on it first?
It's got 84 right now.
84,000.
Original mileage.
Well, you've been driving the wheels off that
from a private owner.
Yeah. So you're 17 plus 20, so it's 37 years old.
It shouldn't be that hard to figure out, though.
Yeah. And the thing of it is have you ever had spark plugs in it?
Oh, yeah. I put them in.
Okay.
But I wanted to tell you one thing what I found. One night, because I have a little drip in the front seal on the train. So I open the hood. I always check it because I don't use the car much. I might use it once a month. I go open the hood. I found a wire going to the curl, and the wire was dried out and cracked. So what it was doing, when I had at nighttime, I seen a little spark because it was hitting like a ground thing going to the firewall.
Yeah.
So I changed that. I changed. I had extra wire, so I took that off and put a clip on the end, put it back on the curl, and that was okay. Now it's done.
That's good. That's a good thing that you did that. I was going to suggest to you that you get a spray bottle of water at night, get it to miss, and then walk around the car and spray everything, and you'll see a spark if it's a leaking spark. But there's a good chance you're also going to get knocked on your butt because
I don't want to do that. Change the plug because I had plugs for it.
No, I would have just bought a coil wire at an auto parts store.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. And I would have bought a little tube of dielectric grease and it's like petroleum jelly, and I'd put it on both ends of the coil wire and snap them back in, and I'd be done with it. So that's what I would do. But I think you did a good job. I think it was really smart to open the hood at night, start it up, and see that it's missing, and then then look and see where I could see it. And you could have put some black tape around that and driven it for another week and say, it's problem solved. Stop by the auto parts store, give me a coil wire, and we're done.
Yeah.
So, but if it's gone, that's the way it is. And Eddie, thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
And Eddie, there is one other thing. If you have an intermittent spark like that, just have your wife grab a hold of the wire and then just tap the starter. And if she jumps and uses bad words, then you've just found the problem.
Yeah,
I know.
Any hate mail, send to Mark Salem.
Look, here's the deal. Here's
okay,
the deal.
I think what you say, I'll do that. Put a little bit on each spark plug and put them back on and see what happens.
And if she's standing in wet slippers, it's even more fun. okay, I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. I'm working on a Camaro. I want to pull the steering column out. I can't get the column out. So I don't know that there's a collar down there and the shaft has an indentation in it where the bolt goes through and holds the steering shaft. So I've got the bolt loose and I'm pulling on it. Okay? This is right after we were married. And I'm pulling on it and I'm beating on it and I can't figure it out. All I really needed to do was take the bolt out and it would come right out.
Right.
So I'm just hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering. So finally, I finally get it and it comes off, hits me in the face, and it rips the headliner up. I have just cost myself hundreds of dollars in a 70 Camaro Z28. About that time, Renee comes out, and she's wearing her bathrobe, she's got her hairs in curlers, and she says, "You want to kiss goodnight?" It wasn't pretty from that point. Yeah, take a look at this big dent in my head. Look at the, dry, you want to kiss? You know, but anyway, we've been married 46 years, so she's put up with me a lot. And you've heard this before, in every marriage, here's my marriage counselor thing. In every marriage, there's a Snow White and a Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Somebody kisses the kids, somebody spanks the kids. Somebody grounds the kids, and somebody hugs the kids. So there's always that. In my family, Renee was so mean to those kids.
Boy, you might not make it another year. You keep going.
You know what? She said the other day, she says, "You know, you just don't walk the line." She says, "You walk on the edge of the line of life." And I said, "No, I don't. I dance on it. I dance down the street." You know what? If you sat in the middle lane of your life all your life,
it's no fun.
Yeah. You got to get in trouble every once in a while. You got to step in a little cow poo-poo every once in a while. And when you do that, here's the magic words. I'm sorry. That's it.
Well, and you keep that cardio going in her. You know what I mean? She don't have to go to the gym, man. She's mad at you all the time.
Renee, I get home, and there's three flags hanging from the garage. I'm a red, yellow, and black. And the red and black one's the same, I think. Yellow means you're in trouble, but come on in. Anyway, black. I'll tell you who else is in trouble. It's Blackwell Automotive. Tom's been my friend for many years. We're two peas of the same pod. We're brothers from different mothers and all that other kind of stuff. So a lady calls me and she says she wants to put air conditioning in her truck and she wants to put power steering in a 70 Chevy pickup truck and then she wants to put power brakes on it. She's already had the neighbor guy take this $3,600 air conditioning kit, but he can't quite do it. So I call one shop and he goes, "I don't want no part of that." He says, "What happens if parts are missing?" I call the next shop and he goes, "Oh, no, no, I'm not." So I call Black One. I said, "This is a stupid question. When I blah, 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 will you take it?" He goes, "Send her on over."
So she caught him on a good day.
I said, "Are you drunk?" She brings it by Thursday. She drops it off. He calls her and says, "Come pick it up Tuesday." So I'm holding my breath. And her name's Vicky, and I said, "Let's talk in a week." I'm going, "Cool. I'll know in a week."
Yeah.
So she calls me back, and she says, I couldn't be happier. Everything is absolutely perfect." That's the kind of guy he is. He's one of those guys that you wave the red flag in front of him. "Nobody can fix this car, Tom. Nobody can fix this car. Nobody in Arizona, California, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada. It's been a big circle. You want to take a shot? Bring it on."
He's got a great shop, too.
Well, and not only that is, he'll raise his hand and he'll say, "That car you sent me, I couldn't find it."
Yeah.
"I couldn't find it." Yeah. And he says, "But I agree with you. If you wait, it'll get worse and easier to find. But you don't have any choice. We can start throwing parts at it, or we wait till it gets worse and easier to find." Okay, I'm ready. Who's next?
That would be Dennis.
Dennis, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. That's the story I was thinking of.
Dennis is an old police friend of mine. And the story I told about the steering column, in a different venue, it was a better story. I'll bet. And there was some words, and there was a the ending was slightly different, but that's what he's talking about. He said something on Facebook the other day. You know what? I was venting on Facebook the other day.
Really?
And I talked about the like word. Now, on The Bachelor the other day, according to Jimmy Kimmel, they counted that the girl said the word like 232 times in an hour. Then they had it edited, and they actually showed 232. Well, I was like this, and you know, you like this, and then they were like this, and like. And then I was mad at the female weathercasters, because they just bugged me. One guy said this, and I think it was Dennis, but I'm not quite sure. Dennis's serial number was 160. They're up over like 3,000 now, so he's like an old gray-haired guy. He even has hair coming out of the collar, okay? He's an old guy, but he's the kind of guy that you wanted to show up at a bar fight with because he would help you. So nevertheless, when you look at the cars and you look at the people on TV now have really long eyelashes. Do you remember when we used to tease people about looking like Tammy Faye Baker?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the difference.
Yeah.
Look at the difference. Today, every girl's got little eyelashes that are interfering with the windshield as they drive the car. You got all this mascara on the windshield as they bat their eyes. But we used to laugh at Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, yeah. They were like...
And actually, Dennis was married to Tammy Faye at one time or another. But he won't admit it, but I'm going to admit it for him.
You're
going to
help him out.
I'm going to help him out. Dennis the Bork, and anybody that listens to the radio show that was a policeman in Scottsdale through the 70s, 80s, 90s, or the year 2000, then they wouldn't know Dennis. But Dennis, thank you for bringing that up. He asked me on the thing, what about the time that you were working on your car in the steering column? And I told him, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. All righty. Well, hey, listen. Dave Martin, he's on 16th Street, south of Indian School. He's the second generation, Martin's Auto Repair. It's on the west side of the road. You're open from?
7 in the morning till 5 at night, Monday through Friday.
Okay. And been around, how long have you been in charge of the family business?
Well, I've been running it probably for the last, I don't know, 30 years. And I bought my dad out about 15 years ago.
Well, good for you. That's what I'm talking about, the second generation. We've learned from the very best. So we know what to do and what not to do by our dad's habits. I'm Mark Salem, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. We'll see you next week.